Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Today we're going to be looking back at 1999,
Okay.
right after the Kosovo War.
Right.
So you can imagine a region that's just been completely devastated by conflict.
Absolutely.
There's all this international pressure mounting,
Yeah.
and the UN Security Council is really scrambling to try to find some kind of solution.
Right.
And that's where Resolution 1244 comes in.
Yeah.
This document,
Huge document.
it's packed with ambition,
Yeah.
but as we're going to uncover, I think it also had some serious potential for trouble down the line.
Absolutely. A fascinating case study in how these things can play out.
So to get us started,
Yeah.
for those of us who aren't, international law experts,
Right.
what did Resolution 1244 actually set out to do?
Well, on the surface, it seemed pretty straightforward.
Okay.
It called for withdrawing the Yugoslav forces,
Okay.
establishing a UN administration. This was known as UNMI, and it authorized a NATO-led peacekeeping force, KFOR.
Right.
But the real heart of the resolution, and I think the part that has really caused so much debate over the years, is its stance on Kosovo's final status.
And that's where I think things get a little tricky, right?
Absolutely.
Because even though this resolution was passed way back in 1999, it's still causing all these ripples today,
Absolutely.
especially between Serbia and Kosovo.
Right at the heart of the issue.
So can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, so you see, Resolution 1244 was intentionally vague on the question of Kosovo's independence. It called for substantial autonomy, but it didn't actually define what that meant.
So what does substantial autonomy actually mean?
That's the question, isn't it? And the thing is, as the Council of Europe's Venice Commission later pointed out, that phrase substantial autonomy wasn't even guaranteed in the 1974 Yugoslav Constitution.
Hold on,
Yeah.
1974 Yugoslav Constitution?
Yeah.
That's going way back.
It is.
Can you give us a little bit of context there?
Sure. So the 1974 Yugoslav Constitution was actually kind of a turning point for Kosovo. It granted the province a higher degree of self-governance, but still within this framework of Yugoslavia. Now, fast forward to 1999, and you have this resolution that's using this constitution, which by this point had essentially become defunct as a basis for determining Kosovo's future autonomy.
So you can already see how that's a little
Yes.
bit of a problem.
Yeah, you can see how this lack of clarity would create some problems down the line.
It's like building a house on a foundation that's already crumbling.
Yeah, a recipe for instability, for sure.
So how did this vagueness then play out in the years following the resolution?
Well, for Serbia, the lack of clarity was a way to kind of maintain their claim over Kosovo. They argued that Resolution 1244, by emphasizing substantial autonomy within this framework of Yugoslavia, ultimately upheld Serbian sovereignty.
But I imagine Kosovo had
Yeah.
a very different take
Very different.
on all this.
Absolutely.
So what was their perspective?
Well, in 2008, Kosovo declared independence, directly challenging Serbia's interpretation of the resolution.
So that obviously
A
created,
huge rift.
yeah, a huge rift.
And Serbia actually took the issue to the International Court of Justice, hoping to get a ruling in their favor.
So what did the ICJ say?
Well, ultimately, they ruled that Kosovo's declaration of independence didn't actually violate Resolution 1244.
So they sided with Kosovo.
Well, not so fast. While the ICJ said that the declaration didn't violate the resolution, they were very careful not to actually endorse Kosovar independence.
Ooh, that's interesting.
It's a very crucial nuance that often gets overlooked.
It's a very clever legal maneuver.
It is.
So basically, they said, Kosovo, you have the right to declare independence,
Right.
but we're not going to say whether you're actually independent or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where I think the lasting impact of Resolution 1244 really comes into play. It created this legal gray area that continues to fuel the dispute between Serbia and Kosovo, even today.
So even though it was meant to be a solution,
Right.
it seems like it also sowed the seeds for
Absolutely.
future conflict.
Yeah, it's a classic example of unintended consequences.
And let's not forget, I think China's role in all of this.
Oh, yeah, China's abstention was really interesting.
So China abstained from the vote
He did.
on Resolution 1244. 1244.
Mm-hmm.
Now, China is usually pretty vocal.
Oh, absolutely.
About these issues of sovereignty.
Very much so.
So their abstention, I think, speaks volumes.
It does. Yeah, they were critical of NATO's intervention.
Okay.
Believing that the conflict should have been resolved internally.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of outright vetoing the resolution,
right,
which, you know, might have been expected,
yeah,
given their stance,
yeah,
they chose to abstain.
So what message do you think they were trying to send with that abstention?
I think it offers a really interesting glimpse into China's approach to foreign policy.
Okay.
Even back then. They were wary of setting a precedent for international intervention,
mm-hmm,
in what they saw as a sovereign nation's internal affairs.
Right.
And this careful maneuvering,
yeah,
reflects, I think, a long-standing principle in their foreign policy.
Oh.
A preference for non-interference in other states' domestic matters.
So it just goes to show that even something like a yes or no vote at,
yeah,
the UN,
yeah,
can have all these hidden layers of meaning.
Absolutely.
It makes you wonder what other geopolitical chess moves,
oh yeah,
happening behind the scenes.
There's always more to the story than meets the eye.
But before we get too deep into that,
right,
let's bring it back down,
yeah,
and look at the impact of this resolution on the ground.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, it's about the human impact, right?
Right. So coming up, we'll take a closer look at how Resolution 1244 played out in Kosovo itself.
Yeah.
What role did KFOR and UNMC play? How did this resolution affect the lives of everyday people?
Important questions.
So stay with us.
Looking forward to it.
Welcome back. So we've established that Resolution 1244 had, you know, a lot of lofty goals.
Oh, yeah.
But its kind of vague language also created this breeding ground for all this tension and differing interpretations.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's shift gears for a moment,
right,
and look at how this resolution actually played out,
yeah,
on the ground in Kosovo.
This is where I think the human side of the story,
yeah,
really comes into focus.
Mm-hmm.
You had a population that had just endured this brutal war.
Right.
A shattered infrastructure.
Yeah.
Deeply divided society.
Right.
And into this really volatile mix.
Yeah.
You're introducing KFOR, a NATO-led peacekeeping force.
Okay.
And UNMIK, this UN administration.
Right.
That was tasked with actually governing Kosovo.
It sounds like controlled chaos.
It really was a massive undertaking, to say the least.
What were some of the immediate challenges that KFOR and UNMI faced?
Well, I mean, their mandates were incredibly broad.
Okay.
KFOR was responsible for ensuring security.
Okay.
Demilitarizing the KLA,
mm-hmm,
the Kosovo Liberation Army.
Right.
Overseeing the withdrawal of Yugoslav forces.
Okay.
Meanwhile, UNMI had to set up a functioning government.
Yeah.
Rebuild the economy,
mm,
protect human rights.
Wow.
All while navigating this incredibly complex political landscape.
Yeah.
With, you know, competing interests and simmering resentments.
Well, talk about a tall order.
It was a huge challenge.
Did they manage to achieve any of these goals?
It was a mixed bag, to be honest.
Okay.
On the security front, okay, KFOR was, I'd say, largely successful in preventing a large-scale return to violence.
Okay.
They did provide this sense of stability,
mm-hmm,
which was really crucial in those early years.
That must have been a huge relief for people.
Oh, absolutely. It was a huge step forward.
Yeah.
However, there were challenges.
Okay.
Tensions between ethnic Albanian and Serbian communities remained high.
Right.
Oh. And sporadic violence did occur.
Mm-hmm.
KFOR was sometimes criticized for not doing enough to protect minority communities.
Okay.
Particularly Serbs.
So even with this peacekeeping force in place,
right,
the wounds of the conflict were still very raw.
They were, yeah.
What about UNMIC?
Yeah.
How did they fare in their task of governing Kosovo?
Well, they faced an uphill battle right from the start.
Okay.
I mean, they had to build institutions from scratch.
Wow.
Often with limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
And in this context of huge political uncertainty.
Right.
But one of their key achievements, I would say, was establishing a provisional government.
Okay.
And holding elections.
Mm-hmm.
This was a significant step towards self-governance for Kosovo.
That sounds like progress.
It was. It definitely was.
Okay.
However, UNMIC also faced criticism.
Okay.
Some argue that they were too slow to transfer power to the local authorities, that they were too bureaucratic.
Okay.
Out of touch with the needs of the people.
Right.
There were also concerns about corruption and a lack of accountability.
It just seems like peacekeeping and nation building are just incredibly complex.
Oh, they are.
Endeavors.
Hugely complex.
Even with the best intentions.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder that there's no quick fix when it comes to resolving these deep-seated conflicts.
It takes time and sustained effort.
And one issue I think that highlights this complexity is the return of refugees.
Right.
And displaced persons.
Yeah, a huge issue.
Resolution 1244 specifically called for their safe and unimpeded return to their homes.
Yeah.
That sounds straightforward enough on paper.
It does, doesn't it?
But I imagine the reality was far more complicated.
Oh, it was incredibly complicated.
In what ways?
Well, while many refugees did return to Kosovo, in the years following the resolution, the process was fraught with challenges.
Okay.
Many found their homes destroyed.
Oh, wow.
Or occupied by others.
Right.
Security concerns remained.
Yeah.
Particularly for minority communities.
Of course.
And just rebuilding their lives after years of displacement.
Right.
Proved incredibly difficult.
So even though the resolution kind of laid out this framework for their return.
Yeah.
It couldn't magically erase the trauma and loss.
Right. It wasn't a magic wand.
That these people had experienced.
No, absolutely not.
So I guess that leads to the question.
Yeah.
How do you measure this success or failure
right.
of a resolution like this?
Yeah. How do you define success in a situation like this? Is it about meeting specific benchmarks?
Right.
Or is it about creating the conditions for lasting peace and reconciliation?
Those are the real questions, aren't they?
It seems like Resolution 1244 had both successes and shortcomings.
It did.
It prevented a large-scale resumption of violence and laid the groundwork for self-governance in Kosovo.
Right.
But it also left so many issues unresolved.
It did.
Which created this legacy of tension.
Absolutely.
And uncertainty that continues even to this day.
Yeah. It's a complex legacy.
And that brings us to the present.
Right.
How relevant is Resolution 1244 in 2025?
Yeah, good question.
Is it a relic of the past? Or does it still hold sway over the future of Kosovo?
Big questions.
Well, that's a question we'll have to tackle head on when we come back.
Okay.
We'll explore those competing perspectives on the resolution's current status.
Right.
And what it means for this ongoing relationship between Serbia and Kosovo.
Looking forward to it.
So stay with us. Welcome back. Still grappling with this legacy of UN Resolution 1244.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, this document that's been called both a landmark achievement
right.
and a source of continued tension.
It's both of those things.
So where do things stand today in 2025?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
And like most things in international relations, the answer is anything that's simple.
Right.
You have some who view Resolution 1244 as outdated.
Okay.
Essentially redundant, especially after Kosovo declared independence.
You mentioned The Economist earlier, and they've been pretty vocal about this viewpoint.
Oh, yeah. They've argued that the resolution has become more symbolic than anything else.
Okay.
They see Kosovo's independence as a done deal, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they think the international community should just move on.
Okay.
And focus on more pressing issues.
So that's a pretty pragmatic viewpoint.
It is.
But I imagine not everyone shares that assessment.
You're right. For Serbia, Resolution 1244 is still like the cornerstone of their legal argument.
Okay.
They see it as the only legitimate framework for resolving the Kosovo issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they insist that any solution has to be in line with its provisions.
So it's almost like we have these two parallel realities.
Yeah.
One where the resolution is seen as this relic of the past.
Right.
And another where it's still very much alive and shaping the present.
Yeah. It makes it really tough to move forward.
It does. And it makes you wonder,
yeah.
could this resolution ever be revisited?
It's possible.
Or even reinterpreted.
Yeah. I mean, as the geopolitical landscape shifts,
yeah.
there might be a renewed push to revisit it.
Okay.
Maybe through a new UN Security Council resolution or some kind of international agreement.
So you're saying we can't really rule anything out.
Exactly. With something this complex, you never know what the future holds.
But until then, we're left with this lingering uncertainty.
Yeah. And that uncertainty has very real consequences.
It does. It affects people's lives.
Absolutely.
In both Serbia and Kosovo.
Every day.
It influences political discourse, economic development.
Right.
Even the region's overall stability.
It's a reminder that these international agreements,
yeah.
these pieces of paper,
right.
signed in these distant conference rooms,
yeah.
have very real impacts on people's lives.
It's so true. So if our listener is going to take away one key insight from our deep dive into Resolution 1244, what would it be?
I think it would be this: international agreements, while crucial, are rarely perfect.
Right.
They're often products of compromise.
Yeah.
And they can have these unintended consequences. Absolutely.
That ripple through history.
It makes you think.
It does.
It encourages us to look beyond the headlines.
Yeah.
And really grapple with all these nuances.
Absolutely.
Of these agreements.
And, you know, when you're following the news about Kosovo,
yeah,
or any conflict zone, really,
mm-hmm,
pay attention to how these resolutions are invoked by different actors.
Okay.
Ask yourself, what are their motivations?
Right.
What are they hoping to achieve?
That's such a good point.
Doing so, I think, will give you a much deeper understanding of the complexities.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
Into UN Resolution 1244.
A lot to unpack.
The ongoing challenges in Kosovo.
Yeah, a lot to think about.
Definitely a topic that we'll revisit as events unfold.
Absolutely.
But for now, we encourage you to keep learning.
Yes.
Keep questioning.
Keep digging.
And keep exploring this really intricate world of international relations.
What a fascinating world out there.
It is. We'll see you next time.
See that.